The sounds of gunfire and riots fill the streets of Berlin. Ernst Chain, a German-Jewish biochemist, sits in his laboratory and shakes at every noise. He can no longer do his research within this country. He has to leave. He realizes that his life is in danger, as well as those of his family. He rushes from his laboratory to his house, wanting to make plans with his mother and sister to make sure they all get out of the country safely. As he runs to his house, he worries he will never see his family again. As the gunfire fills the streets, his worries feel more and more true, and he doesn't realize that it's already too late.
Brains of the people are more interesting than the looks, I think.
Electric power is everywhere present in unlimited quantity.
Jane, if you really want something, and you work hard, and you take advantage of opportunity, and you never give up.
Hi, I'm Kenna Castleberry, and this is Human Angle, a podcast that focuses on the hidden lives of scientists, asking what makes them human. I'm joined by my other lovely co-host, Kim Castleberry.
Thank you, Kenna. And we want to take this time to thank you, our listeners. Your support allows us to continue making episodes. We've already had over 1,000 plays on this podcast, and it's all thanks to you. If you're a new listener, you can find our podcast on all your favorite platforms such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and others. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
For today's episode, we're focusing on the life of Ernst Chain, a biochemist who won the Nobel Prize for helping to discover penicillin. We'll be covering Chain's early life, his flight from Germany during World War II, his work with penicillin, and his other experiments. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like and share it with your friends, as it really helps us out.
Chain was born in Berlin on June 19, 1906, the son of Marguerite and Michael Chain, who was a chemist and industrialist dealing in chemical products. Chain's family was of Russian-Jewish descent, which would be important later in his life. His father immigrated from Russia to study chemistry abroad, and his mother was from Berlin. Not many records exist about Chain's early life, but we do know that when he was 14 years old, his father passed away. Ernst inherited the family fortune, but Germany's rampant inflation of 1923 and 1924 nearly wiped it out. The family still had enough to send young Chain to Friedrichswilhelm University. However, at school, Chain seriously considered a career as a concert pianist, and he often gave public performances, but science got the better of him. His interest in science came from previous visits to his father's laboratory. He next attended Friedrichswilhelm University, Berlin, where he graduated in chemistry in 1930 with a PhD. He was from an early age interested in biochemistry, and after graduation, he worked for 3 years at the Charité Hospital in Berlin on enzyme research. The year 1933 changed Chain's life, however, as Adolf Hitler came into power. Though born in Berlin and a naturalized citizen, Chain realized that as a part Russian Jew with leftward politic leanings, he may have better opportunities elsewhere. He left for Great Britain almost as soon as Hitler took power. Unfortunately, in the years that followed, he could not get his mother or sister out of the country. His mother died in a concentration camp, and his sister disappeared. He would never see either family member again. That's so sad. There's just story after story, I know.
It's one of those, I think, he is a survivor in another sense, where I don't think people think of that type of survivor, where they left family behind, yeah, and they were able to get out. And I'm sure there's some sort of survivor's guilt, too.
Oh, yeah. Chain arrived in London on April 2nd, 1933, with 10 pounds in his pocket. Geneticist and physiologist J.B.S. Haldane helped him to attain a position at University College Hospital in London.
After a couple of months, Chain was accepted as a PhD student at Fitzwilliam House, Cambridge University, where he began working on phospholipids under the direction of Sir Frederick Galen Hopkins, as if, you know, one name wasn't enough. In 1935, he accepted a job at Oxford University as a lecturer in pathology. During this time, he worked on a range of research topics, which I'm not surprised about. Chain initially investigated the mode of action of snake venom and later studied the enzyme hyaluronidase, which promotes the diffusion of substances in tissues by breaking down a tissue-cementing substance, hyaluronic acid. Chain's colleague Flory was interested in lysozyme, an enzyme that catalyzes the breakdown of some bacterial cell walls. Lysozyme had all the properties of an enzyme, but the properties of the substrate in bacteria on which it acted were unknown. In 1938, Flory's interest in lysozymes led Chain to plan a systematic investigation of the effect of antibacterial substances on microorganisms. Flory and Chain set out to isolate the substrate and its study in the interactions with the lysozymes. One of the first substances they selected for the study was penicillin, which Alexander Fleming, who also discovered the lysozyme in 1922, had discovered in a mold culture only years earlier in 1928. Flory, Chain, and a group of colleagues at Oxford University started their research on the purification and therapeutic use of penicillin in 1939. Shortly thereafter, Chain discovered that penicillin was not an enzyme, but a relatively small and simple organic molecule. The group extracted and purified penicillin and demonstrated for the first time its remarkable chemotherapeutic properties. Chain hypothesized its structure, later proven through X-ray crystallography by Dorothy Hodgkin. Chain also discovered penicillase, an enzyme that catalyzes the destruction of penicillin. By 1940, it was clear that penicillin could be given safely to humans by injection, and in 1941, its clinical efficacy was demonstrated in human subjects. For this research, Chain, Flory, and Alexander Fleming received the Nobel Prize in 1945. In 1948, Chain married Anne Belhoff Chain, sister of Rene Soskin, Max Belhoff, John Belhoff, and Nora Belhoff, and a biochemist of significant standing in her own right. In his later life, his Jewish identity became increasingly important to him. Chain was an ardent Zionist, and he became a member of the Board of Governors on the Weizmann Institute of Science at Ravenhot in 1954, and a member of the Executive Council. He raised his children securely within the Jewish faith, arranging much extracurricular tuition for them. His views were expressed most clearly in his speech, Why I Am a Jew, given at the World Jewish Congress Conference of Intellectuals in 1965. Towards the end of World War II, Chain learned that his mother and sister had been killed by the Nazis. From 1948 to 1961, Chain was director of the International Research Center for Chemical Microbiology at the Superior Institute of Health in Rome, Italy. He studied problems in microbial fermentation and the mode of action of insulin. During this time, he became a consultant to the Beecham Research Laboratories in England, where the nucleus of the penicillin molecule was eventually isolated. In 1961, Chain returned to England to join the faculty of Imperial College of the University of London. To be fair, Imperial College has had quite a few crazy people, including Brian May, the guitarist for Queen. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's for another podcast.
That's for another time. Chain became professor of biochemistry and the head of the department, as well as director of the Wolfson Laboratories at the university. He remained at Imperial College until 1973, where he was named Professor Emeritus and Senior Research Fellow. Chain was knighted in 1969.
Wow.
The Imperial College Biochemistry Building is named after him, which I remember actually going in that building quite a bit. Yeah, it's a nice building. In 1978, Chain became ill at his country home in Mulrany, County Mayo, in the northwestern Ireland area, where he died on August 12, 1979, at the age of 73 years. In addition to the Nobel Prize, he received many honors, among which was election to the Fellowship of the Royal Society of London in 1949, and awards from countries and universities the world over. He was honored on a stamp issued by Dominica in 1995. So, just, you know, fleeing the Nazis, going to England, working on penicillin, and just discovering, you know, what if we tried this with penicillin? What if we tried this with penicillin? And realizing, you know, it is such a huge drug and one that's changed medicine forever.
Absolutely.
So,
and I think just that drive right now, he's realizing what he's gone through. He's taken all that energy, all of that heartbreak probably, and really focused that on his research.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know, and like, it didn't say in the research when I was looking at it, but I'm surprised that he didn't end up moving to Israel after it was established.
Yeah, it sounded very important to him, his faith.
Yeah. So it's one of those for me where I think he's one of the rare scientists, and I wouldn't necessarily say too rare, but rare enough where clearly he was able to negotiate the science versus faith argument, where you could still be, you know, of Jewish religion and a scientist as well.
Yeah.
And it's one of those for me where I appreciate him going through that, and I would love to learn more about his process of doing that. But at the same time, you know, we don't have a personal diary of him. We don't have any records like that.
Right. So, and you wonder, you know, circling back around to that faith when he was older, right?
Right.
Seeing that persecution, does that help you to dig in and press into your faith?
Right.
Or lose your faith? And, you know, maybe there was some time where he realized how important that was to him.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to today's episode on Ernst Chain, the Nobel Prize-winning biochemist. Stay tuned for our next episode on Valerie Thomas, an African-American scientist and inventor who designed the technology behind 3D movies.
Ooh.